The New York Times quotes unnamed American officials who are saying that they have evidence that Pakistan's intelligence service played a role in the bombing of the Indian embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan. The blast happened last month in Kabul. Those officials further allege that Pakistani spies have fed intelligence to militant groups on the Afghan border so the militants can avoid American missile strikes. Serious charges about an important U.S. ally. But as the world's Matthew Bell reports, Washington can't really do much about them.
A spokesman from Pakistan's foreign ministry dismissed the allegations in the New York Times. He said they were, quote, total rubbish. But connections between the Pakistani intelligence agency, known as the ISI, and extremist groups in Pakistan are well documented. Ahmed Rashid has written about them for years. His latest book is called Descent into Chaos. Rashid says it's hard to say whether the latest allegations are true. If they are, he says, it would mark a real shift.
The most recent American allegations seem to be that the ISI is directly involved in bombing Indian embassies, which is something quite new. And secondly, that they're also involved with Al-Qaeda. Now, that is something very new also, because at least until now, there was this impression that even though the Pakistan military is backing the Afghan Taliban, they are not backing Al-Qaeda, and they are, in fact, going after Al-Qaeda.
President Bush is said to have raised the issue of intelligence leaks with Pakistan's prime minister, who visited Washington this week. The CIA has also reportedly sent an official to confront Pakistan's government about ISI agents supporting militants and extremists. But the most recent allegations include a claim that this is not the work of rogue agents acting on their own. Bruce Rydell worked with many ISI agents during his 20-year career at the CIA, and he says for the most part, these spies are also Army officers who take their orders from their military superiors.
If the ISI is involved in bombing Indian embassies in Kabul and giving advance notice to terrorists of American military operations, it's because the highest levels of the Pakistani Army are giving them instructions to do that.
Washington would like Pakistan's new civilian government to strike hard at militants and extremists, but that government is not in firm control of the country's military. It also suffers from bitter internal divisions of its own, with some wanting to negotiate rather than fight with those militants. Again, Ahmed Rashid.
At the moment, I mean, nobody's really in charge and control. President Musharraf, who's much disliked by the civilian government, is still president. People would like to see him leave, but that seems unlikely given the fact that he still has support from the United States and he still has support from the military. All in all, I mean, Pakistan is in a very, very precarious position.
Other than applying diplomatic pressure, Washington has few short-term options in Pakistan. Stepping up American military action in Pakistan would be likely to weaken the government there, which is something that most in Washington want to avoid. In the longer term, though, there's an effort in Congress to shift American aid to Pakistan away from the military and toward priorities like education, health care, and infrastructure. But again, that's a long-term strategy, unlikely to make a difference in the fight against militants and extremists that's raging right now. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.